All right. So let's talk about, and I'm short.
Wait, hold up. Paige, you gotta step up to the plate here.
This is true.
So this is like a little inside joke between us, because in real life.
In real actual life, when I am not wearing heels, I am about this tall.
I'm definitely not wearing heels right now.
Not even a little. So I am like this tall, and Lo is like the tallest.
Yes, I am the tallest. No. Okay.
So
I'm 2 sigma at least outside the average female height,
and I am significantly below.
Yeah. So you're still probably 1 sigma below. Okay. You're probably not 2 sigma below.
Alrighty, but yeah. Regardless, I am standing on a box.
They augmented Paige's height so that we could
both
appear normal.
Absolutely, that's what data scientists do. We are regressing to the mean.
Well, they didn't saw off my legs to make this happen, so I appreciate it. Thank you. All seriousness.
Getting back to business. So what we were talking about today is, what is actually data science? That is a hot topic everywhere, and no one seems to have a clue.
No.
But everybody has an opinion.
So. That's exactly how I describe it. Yes.
So let's talk about, what is a data scientist to you, Lo Smith?
All right, so data scientist to me is, because a lot of people think if they go and get some statistics or like do some averaging or make a few plots, they're like, look, or make even a machine learning model, they go, look, I'm a data scientist. Mm-hmm. And to me, the real definition of a data scientist versus maybe data analyst or data engineer is that a data scientist is going to be able to lead a research project. Like, they are going to be able to take an idea, delve into it, and complete like a whole basically research project with it. Like, they will start, they will find things wrong with the data, they'll clean it, they'll come up with a conclusion, and they'll make a model that works in a pretty short amount of time too. And this is why, in a lot of cases to me, real data scientists usually do have higher degrees, is because they've had to demonstrate they can complete a long-term research project. Mm-hmm. That being said, you obviously don't need a PhD to do that, but you have to be able to develop that skill set of being able to lead a statistics heavy and very, like, mm-hmm. you don't need a physics PhD to do this. Like, you have to know some math. Yeah. You do have to like be able to code. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to do statistics, and you have to be able to complete that project.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I do love about statistics and physics, again, is that it kind of teaches you systems thinking. So we discussed that in one of our earlier videos, is that if you're a physicist, you have an appreciation for how variables can interact. Yes. And not univariate systems, it's multivariate systems with a number of complexities. So I agree with you in that a data scientist is somebody who has a data set and a research problem.
Yes.
And they're able to use that either collaborating with, you know, their stakeholders, or they have a research problem of their own. And they have a final product that is a predictive model. So you can do a lot of descriptive statistics that are very compelling, right? So that they can fit a business need. You can show historical trends in your data. You can and that can be extremely, extremely useful, especially if you don't have a huge grounding in your business and data-driven business processes. But for a data scientist, it's really building a predictive model, being able to use your data to tell a story completely.
Yeah, and to really even, like, we keep mentioning the words exploratory, like to be able to poke and find that like gold mine and be like, this is what we need to do. You have to be creative. You have to, like, these are all embedded within completing this giant research project put before you.
Yeah.
Like, no one's gonna tell you the answers.
No.
Like,
And it's hardly ever that the data actually, the data that you want is represented in your data set, right? So more than likely you're going to have a number of features that should be excluded completely. And think of a feature as like a column in an Excel table.
Yes.
So so these features should be, you know, either excluded completely or maybe reduced down to a single feature themselves. So an example that we were talking about outside was, If something that would be telling for your model is whether or not a person plays a sport, whether or not they engage in physical activity of some sort, So your sample set might be that a person plays rugby, yes or no. A person plays football, yes or no. A person plays soccer, yes or no. And that could be reduced to play sport, yes or no. And you can take out all of those extraneous columns. So it's really awesome, kind of. Like, it's being a detective, almost.
It is. It's totally being a detective. And you got to close the case.
Yes.
You can't just, like, poke in and be like, I found the mean was 8. And then, like, jump out and be like, all right, data science time over. Back to my day job.
But let's make a pretty plot. Okay, seaborne good. But yeah, it really does require using some sort of higher order thinking skills to hypothesize about potential causes, potential outcomes.
Yeah.
And play with them to see how they work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the next thing Paige and I want to talk about going on this data science track is, what are some traits we admire in other data scientists we've worked with?
Like, right.
In our mind, the great data scientists we know, why did we respect them?
Like, yeah. So the great data scientists that I've met have such a healthy respect for data cleaning, and like they understand that if you start with terrible data, you're going to have a terrible output, like trash in, trash out all the time.
So true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking. So just to be completely candid, I am thinking specifically of Hadley Wickham, who's like the he is the king of R. So if you're using an R package that you like, it is probably written by Hadley Wickham. So he wrote dplyr, ggplot2, everything that is used and loved by the R community. And he specifically wrote a number of these packages for data cleaning tasks. So how to make it easier to fit a data frame into a machine learning algorithm. How to take your data and manipulate a table into something that is more sort of readable, human readable, as a statistic output. Like, it's just that is that's the biggest tell, I think. So an appreciation for data cleaning, having solid data. And then also data visualization. So being able to use your data to tell a story, because it doesn't matter if you have the best algorithm in the world or the best model.
Yeah.
If you can't communicate it out to the public or your initial stakeholder, your business customer, no one is going to care.
Yeah, you're like, no, it just doesn't matter. Like, why do you even build the model?
Yeah, and and the same argument for science, right? Like, if you've done this great research,
and you never write it up,
then it's like it never happened.
If the tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, if that tree is your research and no one hears it, then it didn't happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, even if you fell, you're like, no, it fell. Mm-hmm. No, it didn't actually fall.
Absolutely. So how about you? What are some traits that you admire?
So when I work with other data scientists, what immediately, like, to me, puts you in the respect column versus like the I'm still wondering if I respect you or not column. Because like there is a little bit of the will the real data scientist please stand up going on. And so for me, the biggest thing is that, like, when you're presenting a model and you're with someone you like who is a great data scientist in my mind, they always seem to just know the right questions to ask. Like, they'll be like, well, did you test this feature? Did you try testing R squared? Did you try this? Did you try this model? Did you hone in on this? Like, how'd you clean your data? Why'd you throw out half? Or like, how many rows did you lose? Like, the great data scientists, when they're approached with like a new like thing, like they're being consulted or asked about their opinion, they immediately start asking questions, and they ask very targeted, helpful, constructive questions. They're not wasting anyone's time. They usually have a pretty good intuition from experience, because they've been doing it, that they're like, I have a feeling this is too good because of this. And I've been on ends where I'm selling a product, and the data scientists on the other end, the great ones, they know. They're like, how about this? And I'm like, you're right. We did dump half our data set. This is why. Yes. And that's yeah, healthy data cleaning. And once again, it becomes a conversation. Like, even though maybe I did dump half the data set, there's a good reason. you just need to communicate that. So, but I guess to me, what makes a great data scientist is just simply that, like, they have the experience to understand, like, how the process is working, which allows them to ask very targeted, excellent, constructive questions.
Absolutely. And an appreciation that no model is ever perfect, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So it's always open to an interpretation. Like, that was one of the things as a geologist that I at times found very frustrating, right, is that you can have this kind of complex geologic system and people can have different interpretations as to how it formed or to what rocks are constituent in this particular system. And, you know, they all might be valid approaches, but there might not be a way to immediately verify that anyone is correct, but they're all models that can be tested.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it really is. It really is. Yeah.
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 Because you can ask the wrong questions and then you'll buy that model. And then you're kind of, you know, if you didn't ask the right questions, your company may have lost just millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's the important thing with data science to realize is that in the business world, there are dollars associated with how well you do your job.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, if you're not doing a good job, it will directly cost your company money. Mm-hmm. In science, if you're not doing a good job, then you're wasting everyone's, I don't want to say you're wasting everyone's time, because you're always contributing to the body of knowledge. But, like, if you neglected some, you know, feature, or you didn't do as good of a job, or you claim to do something you didn't do, you are sending people down an incorrect path, mm-hmm. which is costing the whole community time.
Yeah.
So it's important to do a good job and ask the right questions.
Absolutely. And that's another thing that I love so much about data science, too, is that if you are a person who is very science or engineering focused, there's an aspect of that. There's also an aspect of a business driver. Yeah. And there's also a bunch of communication and a bunch of interaction with people who need to have their problem solved.
Yes.
So it's a very interdisciplinary sort of field. I guess it's not for everybody. Like, if you have a problem talking to people, probably not the best career for you. If you have a problem, like, if you have a problem thinking outside the box or acting outside of, like, a set process, then it's also probably not your best career.
Yeah, but. And there are other careers with data. That's the other, oh, man.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started. But there's, like, not everyone who works with data is a data scientist, and that's okay. Like,
absolutely.
It's part of it. There's actually should be, in a research structure, there should only be a few scientists because, like, they're the top ones, and they need structure underneath them, making, like, getting the data to them. So, like, for example, if you work with data and you're really good at setting up Spark clusters and you're really, like, you like to talk about transfer times and, like, piping data and, like, building streams, you might be a data engineer.
Yeah.
That is actually, like, the hottest career path right now that no one talks about.
Yeah, and like, ETL. Like,
yeah.
The ETL engineers. Like, that is also... So I think they're being rolled up into the data engineer heading now too. But for every one data scientist, there should be like at least 8 data engineers.
That's at least 2.
Yeah.
I've been lucky before to get 1
yeah.
for every 1 data scientist or 3 data scientists, 1 data engineer. But for a healthy team, you actually do need a lot of data engineers because data engineers also vaguely include feature engineers who are creating new columns in your going into your model.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need your data. Like, sometimes we can actually specialize this whole process. Like, we're not aiming to make everyone a unicorn. Instead, you could be really good at validating models and be a data scientist, but you have someone who's really good at processing the data and getting it to you, and someone who's really good at building features working with you, and maybe an analyst looking for bad data points in there. Yeah. And that's a beautiful team.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to go a lot farther than 4 data scientists going, like, well, anyone here used Hadoop before?
Or or is anybody here good at XML scraping? Like, you know, like, did anybody want to, you know, pick up some Selenium and throw it my way?
Who wants to go in Java?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
But it's kind of, I think I hear that a lot now is, like, everyone's a data scientist. And in reality, there's a whole spectrum. And, you know, find your niche. Do what you're good at. Mm-hmm. Don't aim to be something you're not because of either A, a paycheck, or B, because you think you should be. Because you, as we talked about in our other video about women in science, like, there's a beautiful thing when you find something you're good at and you just pursue it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
if that's data science, awesome. If it's data engineering, even better. Work with me, please.
Like, yeah. And for data science as well, like you can specialize in subfields of data science. So yeah. So either through a discipline, so like being a data scientist in the energy industry or a data scientist in pharmaceuticals, or through a specific aspect of a machine learning process,
oh, yeah.
right?
Or natural language processing is considered its own thing now.
Like absolutely.
That's you, every job call I see for that is like, we need an NLP expert, mm-hmm. not just a data scientist.
Yeah, yeah.
Which kind of leads into our last thing we wanted to cover in this segment is, what do we look for when we would hire?
Absolutely.
Like if we're interviewing you, what are things that you know you would want to see, Paige, in our candidate?
Absolutely.
Over here.
So I would love to see contributions to the open source community. And if you don't have contributions, a good explanation of why. So at my previous job, mm-hmm. We were actually discouraged completely from contributing to the open source community.
Ooh.
Yeah. But if you do contribute to something like pandas, or to scikit-learn, or to ggplot2, or to dplyr, or something of that nature, that not only shows that you're capable of working with engineering teams,
yes.
but it shows that you're invested enough in the product to have noticed a bug, or to notice something like a feature enhancement, and you've created it and contributed it back to the community. So I love to see open source contributions. I love to see personal projects. So if you have a blog, or if you have, you know, GitHub repos galore, or you know, you've been attending hackathons and building products for those. And I also love to see outreach. So if you're presenting at conferences, if you, you know, founded PyLadies or like
this lady over here.
Well,
but she was running very active Houston PyLadies meetup. So
all of those things just kind of point to a person I would love to work with, right? Like somebody who's excited about their job, excited about communicating it, and wants to give back to the community. So how about you?
That's true. So I like to lay down the hammer. No. I've heard that I'm horrific to interview with, but.
What? No, I don't believe.
Well, I like to ask hard questions and see how people deal with them. Mm-hmm. So people who've been interviewed by me, if they're watching this, they're laughing. But I like to make people feel uncomfortable and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So I ask questions that may not have answers. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you I'm not the only one who does this because, man, I've been to some interviews where they asked me a question. They're like, go in the whiteboard and solve this. And I looked at the interviewer and I was like, you realize you could give me all of time. You could give both of us all of time, and we would not solve this problem that you just asked me to solve in a 40-minute interview. It'll be like, build the ultimate recommendation and like engine.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens when you ask those questions is you see what people do when they get backed into a corner where they just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's pretty much two kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who admit they don't know, and then there's people who won't admit it and therefore either freeze or BS or do stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I personally like the people who admit they don't know, but then immediately talk about something they do know.
Yeah.
And if I had to distill what people who've interviewed with me successfully have, it's first of all, they have that kind of spark Paige is talking about where they mm-hmm. have this like excitement for the job.
Mm-hmm.
Like that replaces none, like right there. I definitely scan resumes and I look for education. And Paige is right, is like, if you don't have that PhD or master's degree in a quantitative field, sorry, data scientist, then I look for, well, what does your GitHub look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does, like, I'll give you another chance.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, oh my gosh, I'd hire someone who worked on scikit-learn development because it shows that I would learn from them, for one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And two, it shows that they have that deeper understanding of the model and how it works and how the code is working, and therefore they are better able to feed things into the model, knowing how it works. And that to me is like a very, especially if they're writing essentially production level code,
mm-hmm.
putting it into open source, that's really compelling to me.
Yeah.
So, and I can tell walking up and down the halls of Microsoft, if you poke into doors and you go like, how'd you end up here? A lot of people started working on open source Microsoft projects. And Microsoft gave him a call and we're like, hey, we like this work you've been doing.
Yeah.
Welcome for a job interview. So never, doesn't matter what your degree is, never underestimate the value of like demonstrating your skills and putting it in a public place.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And more importantly, you will learn so much. Like the feedback that you might get initially would sting. So if you do, you know, if you do contribute code and it isn't initially accepted, don't worry, that hardly ever happens, right? Like it hardly ever happens that you would submit something that would be accepted without an ask for some sort of modification. But just keep working at it. Like talk to the people who said no and find out what they were wanting. Like what aspects could you include that would initially get your feature added?
And that's the huge part too, is that handling of rejection, because that's embedded within, and
absolutely,
that's something I would look for.
Yeah, resilience.
Yeah,
I think that is that is so important. Is everybody experiences setbacks. Everybody experiences failure, and how you deal with those failures and those unexpected surprises that aren't necessarily the happiest surprises. That is the true determinant of your character.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, really coming back to, Paige and I were talking about this earlier, like off camera, but I was like, you know, if someone calls you stupid, because it happens,
people
will question your intelligence and call you stupid, and it just like doesn't matter. Usually it means there's something wrong with them. Even if the great Hadley Wickham tells you you're stupid, like, yes, it hurts. Everyone feels that, but it's not like, you know, don't, it just doesn't mean they're just looking at one thing and they're taking it very superficially and they're being rude. And people aren't stupid. They maybe don't have the right skill set. They maybe don't know what they're talking about. Or maybe you're the one who's not understanding things.
Yeah.
But someone who calls you stupid, to me, like, one, that's someone I don't want to work with. And I have worked with those people before. And that would be just, I don't want them around them. Tech is really actively trying to phase these people out because they are not helpful to the development of the product, the company, and the team.
Right.
They're just not, they're really toxic to be around.
Yeah. And what you will find too is that, like, so Hadley had the great ones, like the truly great ones. So Hadley Wickham, let's see, Wes McKinney, all of the people who have created the packages you use and love. Like, more than likely, they're not the kinds of people to say, you're stupid. Like, Hadley would be more likely to say, like, oh my god, you contributed?
Yes.
Let me hug you forever.
Exactly. Like, if you look at, like, a lot of these great ones in even the, like, open source community, they thrive because they've had help themselves.
Absolutely.
Like, really, data science, tech, everything, it's not you go into an office and don't talk to anyone. It's very, like, communication heavy. The most effective people, the people who accelerate the most in their careers, are very good at connecting with people. And not just, like, socially talking, coffee-wise. They're really good at being like, hey, I need help with this problem. Can you help me? And finding the right person to ask.
Yeah.
So, and Paige is right. Like, and even if they do call you stupid, like, that's just, like, not, unfortunately, there's this thing where you have to be strong enough to take it when it happens. Like, when you get rejected for your open source contribution, or, like what I said, the data scientists I really respect are the ones who can find holes and immediately be like, what about this? When that happens to you and you find out you're wrong and this project you've been working on for months is just wrong, you have to hold your head high and be like, I shall continue.
Absolutely.
I am learning. I am growing. Doesn't matter if I'm 15 or if I'm like 85. This is all about becoming better and making literally the world a better place.
Absolutely. And my favorite response to you're stupid or to this is wrong or to something like that is help me understand.
Yeah.
So help me understand why you feel that way or help me understand how I can make this better.
Yeah.
So.
And sometimes you get shut down there too, and then once again, you just gotta hold your head high. There is someone out there who would be willing to explain it to you.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when you get into those happy environments where everyone's working together, oh my goodness, you can just conquer the world.
Yeah.
Like you can go so fast and achieve so much.
Yeah. And you never wanna leave.
I know. You're like, let me stay in my happy clan.
Yeah.
And then when you're interviewing in that happy clan and they're like, shall we let this new member into our happy clan? Like, convey these things. Remember what we're saying. Like, we're looking for someone, who does have an impressive resume, but that's really not the, like, yes or no factor.
Yeah.
It's still instead, like, are they a curious person?
Mm-hmm.
Are they willing to learn?
Are they excited?
Are they excited? Are they going to like contribute positively? Like, are they mm-hmm. going to be a part of this team?
Yeah. And are they good at asking questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
So we hope now that you all have a better sense of a data scientist, or like you're like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to join a happy clan.
Or, you know, you might have your own opinion, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Write it in. Yeah. We'd love to hear it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.